Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. Walter Dean, hosting the show called Getting It Done. Sorry, I'm not in South Carolina this afternoon, but I'm in Virginia, a place called Palm Tree Hotel. Sherry is one of the managers, helped me set up for the show. So if you are ever on 58 East going towards Newport, stop at the Palm Tree. The ladies are friendly and helpful. Now let's get on with the show. First of all, I want to bring to your attention about a cousin of mine who passed away. She was 90-some years old and was a really outstanding model for us as we grew up. She played the piano at Grace Baptist Church in Waterbury, Connecticut, and had a hand in actually my singing development as a child. And when I listened to the things in that particular choir, it actually gave me a foundation of learning how to read music as well as to sing out. She was very, very helpful, and I really never got a chance to thank her for all of the advice that she gave me. Played a great game of tennis also. Now, on with this week's show. If you listened to last week's show, I introduced an old friend, and that was Dr. Billy Taylor, who I met at the University of Massachusetts when we were there working on our doctor's degrees. It's funny how things happen. Dr. Taylor was a great musician and a great supporter of young people. He played an outstanding piano and was extremely intelligent and had a great knack for writing things that make a lot of sense. His talents are above reproach. He's no longer with us, but there's nothing wrong with us being able to go back and try to understand some of the things that he was able to accomplish. But in the meantime, what we're going to do, we're going to pull him up and let him do it for himself. The kind of thing that we found me running my mouth does not always get it. We're going to start off with what is jazz? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good morning. It's good to see you. What a good looking group. Oh, my goodness. Right.
Give yourself a hand.
It's nice to be here. We're going to play jazz for you. The piece we just played is a piece called Tom Vaguely. And it's kind of vaguely like a friend of ours named Tom. But the idea of playing jazz is to play a kind of music that is really music of this particular country. Jazz was invented right here. Jazz was created by many people, but jazz is America's classical music. What is jazz? Jazz is a way of playing, and it's a group of songs that really demonstrates and just kind of gives you a clearer idea of what the styles of jazz are. There are, when I say jazz, there are many different kinds of styles. Jazz started many times, a long time ago. It was created out of the need to express oneself. When Africans were brought to this country as slaves, they were not allowed to do many of the things that they did at home in Africa. One of the things that they had was the drum, and they used the drum to help them celebrate and to do some of the music that they played. When they were not allowed to do that in states like Virginia and North Carolina and many states on the eastern coast, they internalized that feeling, and they came up with something called the spiritual. Now, spirituals are very lovely pieces of music because they come out of suffering. Some of them were called sorrow songs. And here is one. It's called Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child. Now, to play that, you don't get the real feeling. If someone sang it, you'd get a totally different feeling because the voice gives another quality to it. But just the melody. It's a sort of plaintive melody. Now, it was easy to see how that kind of melody led directly into the blues. Here's a famous blues. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, what you heard wasn't just a straight Latin piece. What I did was to take the Latin beat and play jazz over that Latin beat. So I was improvising, making up my own melodies over the harmony of the original melody and kind of trying to say something to you in that spirit with that kind of rhythm.
That was the great Dr. Billy Taylor giving us a little lesson on jazz. And he was explaining to us really what jazz is from his perspective. And we're going to continue with him, and he's going to talk about now improvisation. And
people that I know who jazz artists always say.
So listen up.
What bothers me, it is this notion that all we do is improvise, and nobody tends to appreciate, you know, that the serious sense of structure that's there,
sure,
and how much work goes into creating that. What are the cliches that?
One of the major cliches is that it just the muse strikes, bang, and the lightning comes down, and you all of a sudden you can just ideas flow. Well,
that's a great jam session.
Yeah, right. But they come if you, as Charlie Parker and other great artists have done, if you've prepared yourself. It's the same as someone who's an excellent speaker. In order to communicate with words, that person has to know how to put those words together, not just in sentences, but in meaningful phrases that will capture some image or make you or me feel something. This is what great jazz musicians do. And in doing that, they take all of the elements of the music. I mean, I sometimes take my own music when I demonstrate this to people who are not musicians. For instance, if I took a piece written by George Gershwin, they can't take that away from me. One of the things, first of all, I have to know that too. I have to learn that too. So I have to know how did Gershwin put that together. So that's, for openers, I've got to start somewhere, so I have to know what his harmonies were. Then if I'm going to change that at all, as I might want to do, I might want to change it rhythmically so that it sounds more, maybe I want kind of a happy feeling. If you do that, you've changed the rhythm, but I mentioned melody, harmony, and rhythm. Okay, that's rhythm. How about harmony? Okay, now I've changed the rhythm and the harmony, so why don't I change the melody? To do that, I have to have some sense of form. I have to have some sense of how do I make up a melody. So there's a logic and a kind of coherence to that melody as a new melody. And essentially, that's what I do. That's what I was doing on the blues a little while ago, when I was playing midnight piano. And so. You can, because I'm not doing anything but playing a melody, you can hear the way the melody goes. But if you do that on the piano, obviously you cover it up. Now, that's a melody. It's a more complicated melody than Gershwin's. The whole thing is what do you feel? What am I trying to get you to feel? I mean, I'm trying to say something to you musically.
Once again, we've heard some statements from the great Dr. Billy Taylor talking about improvisation. We're going to continue with him now, and I'm trying to do as many things that he did as possible. Now we're going to listen to him give what we call a piano workshop.
your TV. Watch that thing.
In playing in the rhythm section, the pianist has some rather special problems. And if you don't play well, you might not always be aware of those things. And he's writing chords, many chords are just written or written like that, and if the pianist just plays that voicing, it gets pretty boring, so pianists play all kinds of voicings. But one major problem for most ensemble pianists is the fact that when you play with the band or with an ensemble, you play in one style because you have a bass, a guitar, a drum, and you have two or three other instruments performing with you. When you play alone and you do that, it sounds pretty empty. So you have to do some other things. You have to use more of the instrument. Now, some of the players who play today use a lot of the instrument. I mean, using figures, using faults, using all kinds of textures, and gave their ensembles kind of a different feeling. I was delighted to see that several players, both guitarists and pianists, didn't mind laying out a few bars and letting other members of the section kind of carry the ball. That's very important because you need to change the color. And if you're swinging along with four people at all times, then there's not too much variety, that there are not too many different things that all four of you can do that make everything have a different quality. So sometimes just the one person laying out and letting the whole emphasis shift a little more closely to three people makes a very big difference. It changes the rhythm, and when the fourth person comes back in, it gives it another kind of lift. One pianist played a very beautiful ballad. I hadn't played this thing in a long time. I don't remember. I saw it play, so I'm trying to remember. Solo, I'd probably do something like that. If I'm playing in the orchestra, I would probably play. How many people was in that key? It was an F, wasn't it? You can play things. So I'm playing here because I know the bass player and the guitar. They've got all that. Well, the band has all of that. So I don't have to do that. If I was playing the solo, I'd have to do it. Because I have to use more of the piano. Not possible to do that in the context of a band. You might want to do that in leading into the band as well. The band comes in with some rather large ensembles. But what do you do when you come out of that? Another band. Go into another part of the instrument and play using that kind of harmony. I'm playing chords. Oh. harmonically, you can do some things which will cut through and which will work. I know it's difficult to not do it in the context of that orchestration, but as I remembered, there were trombone and reed, nice warm chords being played under, and the pianist had an opportunity to play just single line things. Things like that.
Okay, we're going to stop for 1 minute and talk about
what he has done and what he's trying to bring across to you. He's trying to simplify jazz. It's a very difficult thing to do. Most people are unable to, as musicians, explain the kinds of things that they're capable of doing. That meant that Billy Taylor had to know all of what he was doing and all of what other people are attempting to do. We didn't talk about the history of jazz, but we talk about what is jazz. And the jazz has so many facets to it. And so what we've been listening to is him talking about different ways that you can take a simple melody and turn it into something completely different. We're going to listen to some more things this time by him. And this time, I think what we'll do is just listen to him play. This is Billy Taylor playing Cool and Caressing. Dr. Billy Taylor, his original composition. Thank you.
What'd you think about that?
Smooth, real smooth. Billy Taylor, when I was much younger and I used to hear him play, I didn't have a whole lot of understanding of his really unique ability. But as I've gotten older, and when I got older, after playing a little bit of music myself with the saxophone, I got to understand and appreciate actually his ability. And we're going to listen to another thing by Billy Taylor called Beautiful Solo. But before we do that, let me tell you something about what this man actually, he used to be on the Charles Carroll show on Sunday mornings. And this was some time ago, maybe 15 or 20 years ago. And he used to talk about what he was doing. And at that particular time, I think he was in the doctoral program at UMass, where I had the occasion to meet him back in 1973. And what a fantastic gentleman. Would talk to you just like you, he's known you for years. And it was the same way in 1973, and then again in the same way in 2003 when I talked to him again. Here is Billy Taylor called Beautiful Solo.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the lead-up to Super Saturday Night. Let's kick off at the practice field of the league's most unlikely team of misfits.
Yes, sir.
Tune in to watch the Foo Fighters rock out at Super Saturday Night, February 2nd at 11 p.m. Thank you.
once again, that was the great Billy Taylor. And I've had a knack for listening to somebody who really had a genius flair, but most people didn't even realize that he had it. He's really had it. And I have one person that, one individual who talked to me the other day who listens to the show continuously, wanted to know why I was featuring so many jazz pianists or pianists going all the way back. And I felt that it was important for me to talk to you, the audience, and let you know why I did. The piano, to me, was like an orchestra unto itself, because it covers a full piano. It covers so many things done on the piano, and it just covers just about so much, and it just fills the place up. I'm going to try to, in the future, do something about making sure that we...
I'll take a cup.
Is
Pepsi
okay? Somebody's doing something for me instead of me doing it for myself. Well, let me see if I can get this out of here. But, that's good. I had to calm this person down. They just shot right up on the screen. But in any event, let me tell you about the elements that we're going to deal with right now. We've been listening to Dr. Billy Taylor giving some information about jazz, and then what we're going to do is we're going to go on and hear him play a song called I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free. Thank you. That was the great jazz pianist, Billy Taylor, who I consider to be one of the all-time greats. Fantastic in the sense that last time I talked with him was in the year 2003. He passed on maybe 4 or 5 years after that. He was in his 80s, and he had told me that at that particular time he was semi-retired and didn't come out to play that much anymore. Well, I can understand. He was having problems with his hands. They were getting arthritic, and he was having some problems with it. But when I heard him play this song, this was dated back in 1986. This recording took place. And I don't remember actually purchasing it, but hearing it somewhere. And then later on, when I talked to him, he talked really strongly about how much feeling he put into this recording, mainly because of what was going on at that particular time. You know, we had lost Martin Luther King. We had lost Malcolm X. We had lost the Kennedys that were all shot. And so all these particular people stood for civil rights, Hibbles, and he and a lot of other musicians wanted to express it in their music. So he was telling me a lot of things. We sat on the phone and talked for about 3 hours. I was trying to get him to come and play at a concert that our college was putting forth, but he had indicated to me that he just couldn't do it, and he didn't want to embarrass himself or anybody else. So that was the last time I talked with him, but it will always be fresh in my head about how well he was able to converse, not only about music, but also about life in general. Here again is Billy Taylor, and it's called Jazz Storytelling. Thank you. To Billy Taylor, tearing it up. By the way, that particular song called Jazz Storyteller is on an album called Jazz Storyteller. That was recorded in the 1990s, and he did a fantastic job playing only with one hand half of the song through the song. And what I wanted to do is the reason why I cut it off so quickly is because we're running out of time. And I wanted to let everybody here know not only did he play well as a jazz pianist alone and with a small jazz trio, but he also played with some giants in the field. And what we're going to do is listen to him conclude the show where he played with Stanley Turrentine and Gary Burton, who I consider to be two great musicians myself. And this is the Billy Taylor meeting the two of them, and hopefully we'll get that right. I did not want to hear that, man, but in any event, let's see if we got the we got the wrong one. Here it is, right here. Billy Taylor meets Stanley Turrentine. That sometimes happens. Don't worry about it. I will have you back on that music because this is the end of the show. Thank you.
Dr. Walter Dean. In the background, which you hear, the great sounds of Billy Taylor performing with some great musicians, Stanley Turntane, who is on the tenor saxophone, Gary Burton, who is on the vibes, and it's not that often that you have an opportunity to hear all of them together. Stanley Turntane passed away also, so you have two people there that I know for a fact that are no longer with us, and so I wanted to make sure that you had an opportunity to hear the great Dr. Billy Taylor play alone, to play with his group, and also to play with other giants in the field. And he could hold his own with all of them. And we actually lost some great insights from his head and his ideas and thoughts about how to play jazz and where jazz came from and all of that particular good thing. So we're going to listen to the latter part of the show as it closes out with him, and I will fade out with his music.